Many marriages are on shaky ground. Some see their mates like car models, trade them in when a better one comes along. The underlying issue is covetousness, wanting what you don't have. The Bible has clear directions for making marriages last. And today, we'll see why living a life of love, purity, and honor is the only way to ensure a long and satisfying marriage. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He's teaching from Ephesians chapter 5 on the sanctity of our marriage vows.
So first of all, we have to learn to forgive. And secondly, we need to learn to love. And I'll talk about this more clearly in the next message. And so we have to skip it for lack of time, except to say, how did Christ love us? What if Jesus said, you know, I come to this earth and they reject me and my needs are unfulfilled. Gethsemane, what about my needs? The cross, what about my needs? Where do I fit into this? No, the Bible says here very clearly that we are to love as Christ loved, and marriage gives you a wonderful opportunity to die to yourself and to love someone else selflessly. And that's the lesson that you and I resist with everything that is within us. So first of all, what we need to do is to live a life of love. Secondly, we need to live a life of purity. Notice what he says, verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Now the reason this is important and the reason that Paul puts it here is very clear. True love is entirely different than the perversion of love that comes to us from the world. The world uses the word love repeatedly, and it's the most misunderstood word you could possibly have. Because today, love is immorality. People get married today, and they don't marry a person, they marry a body. And when the body begins to deteriorate, as it does, it ends the relationship, because everything is based on sexuality. And by the way, these crazy reality shows that you can somehow meet somebody and just there you can tell whether or not they are right for you and they have a connection for you. And this type of stuff is being funneled into our young people today. No wonder they don't have a clue whether they're making a good choice when they get married. And that's why we as a staff have to help them along the way. It is a very confused world. Now notice Satan mimics God and says, this is love. Paul says, let us put aside, he says, immorality, and let us live, he says, with purity. You'll notice that the word immorality is porneia, from which we get the word pornography. Impurity, anything that is unclean and filthy. Anything that is unclean. It's been used about 11 times. The word is used in the New Testament, and Jesus once uses it to refer to dead men's bones, impurity. Received a letter this past week from concerned parents. What they're concerned about is their daughter is dating a young Christian man who confessed to their daughter that sometimes he's been attending gentlemen's clubs, and you know what goes on there. And the question is, you know, we want to extend grace, but also what are the risk factors? I mean, these are difficult issues. But I would say that something like that, that's a good example of dead men's bones. And you can put their pornography, you can put the internet, if that's what you do in the internet, you can put many television programs, many, many movies, and all impurity. Paul just really lays it out there. He doesn't even have an exception clause. I mean, how can you say this? This is the word of God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness. Why covetousness? Isn't that where it all begins? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's what happens at the water cooler at work. That's what makes the man leave his wife and his children because he's found this other connection. That's what makes a wife leave her husband and think that she can do this and take their children because of covetousness. They've coveted the world. The novels that she has read have put into her mind the idea, to quote the words of one woman who fell into immorality, that there was a whole world out there that was unexplored, that I had never had the opportunity to participate in. And my curiosity made me wonder what it would be like. There you go. Pornography tells men that you aren't really satisfied with your wife, who doesn't look as good as so-and-so looks. And so what you have is all of this dissatisfaction that is created. And the Bible says covetousness. And in verse 5, Paul says covetousness is idolatry. It's idolatry because what you're saying is that I need this more than I need God, more than I need God's will, more than I need to please God. I need somebody else's wife or somebody else's girlfriend, somebody who doesn't belong to me. And God says that's idolatry. That's putting me above all of your needs, God says. And so that's why the Apostle Paul says that what we need is to live a pure life. And then he includes, he says, filthiness, coarse jesting, vulgarities. That's the idea. Laughing at dirty jokes, innuendos. And then he says, live a life of honor. Live a life of honor. And I don't know how to soften these words, so I'm not going to. I'm just going to give it to you the way in which God inspired that it be written, and let the Spirit of God do the rest. Notice what it says in verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There it is, folks. You think it's not serious to walk away from your marriage because you found someone else who fulfills you and arises within you needs and desires that you didn't even know you had? Well, do I have to read this again? If you're a Christian, you're to be part of another kingdom. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure... Hey, by the way, did you notice in verse 5 it says, you may be sure of this? Somebody here today says, you know, there's very little that you can be sure about in life. All right, I grant. But here's one thing you can be. Paul wrote that because he knows that we love to be deceived in this area. We want to believe these lies so badly that in order to get our attention, he says, be sure about this. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or covetous, that is, an idolater, you know, you just need to be coveting. You have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You say, well, can't a Christian commit these sins? Yes, of course, a Christian commit these sins, but a true Christian will always fight against them. A true Christian will never be content with immorality, with pornography. He may hate what he is doing. He may find that these powers have a hold of him, but he will therefore struggle with them, but he will fight against them because he knows that this impurity mitigates against the blessed Holy Spirit of God, who is holy, who has taken up residence in our hearts and in our bodies. Do you not know, Paul says, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? How can the temple of the Holy Spirit be within you and you're content with sexual immorality of all kinds, whether heterosexual or homosexual, or impurity or covetousness, that is idolatry? Then the Bible says you have no inheritance. If you live that way contentedly, you almost certainly are not a Christian. Now, notice he says, also live with discernment. I mean, Paul is just giving it to us here with a sense of clarity that is overwhelming. You'll notice he says that, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. live with discernment. Why are we so easily deceived with empty words? It's because we want to be. This message is as countercultural as you could possibly get. What do you mean, impurity? That's where I have my sense of pleasure. And now you're telling me that I can't? Notice it says, don't be deceived with empty words. There are tons of empty words out there. Why does Paul say that? In my brief pastoral experience, from time to time, I've talked to those who are involved in sexual immorality and those who are walking away from their marriages in order to, quote, find themselves. And one of the things that I've discovered is that they are not thinking clearly at all. It's almost as if they are in a trance. They're in another world. Have you ever noticed this? You try to talk sense to them and you say to the woman, what about your children? Or you talk to the man and say, what about your kids? And you might as well be talking to some stones in a graveyard. He can't hear you because he's in this state of euphoria. What do you mean? I'll handle it. I remember calling a man at the instigation of his wife over the phone, because he was involved with someone else, and he was saying to me, you know, what do you mean? It was just as if, you know, well, connect, okay? Look at what you're doing to your wife. Look at what you're doing to those precious children God has given you. Think of the implications of this as it goes on in this life all the way to eternity. Think about it. And then realize what it is that you're going to do. But he can't get it. Why? He's in a state of euphoria. Yes, my friend, you've had that experience too, I'm sure. You've talked to a child and the child just doesn't get it. It's as if he or she is in another world. And of course, there are marriage partners out there right now, some of them listening to this broadcast, who are in that state as well. It's as if they have blocked reality out of their mind and they live in that other world, the world of dreams, the world where they have created their own reality. I hope today that God brings you down to His reality, and that in humility and faith you come to repentance, you come to be reconciled. My prayer is that couples who are listening to these messages will indeed be reconciled. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be in the very room where Martin Luther translated the New Testament into German, where tradition says he threw an inkwell at the devil? How would you like to stand at the Wittenberg door where 95 theses were nailed there by Martin Luther, and be in the apartment where he and his wife Katie lived? This summer, Rebecca and I will be leading a tour to the sites of the Reformation. It's also going to include Oberammergau, the Passion Play. We hope to go to Munich, and I'll tell you there about the rise of Hitler. All of this is available, and all of the information, I should say, that you need is available on our website. Stay tuned, and we hope to see you there.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Those Vows Mean Something, the second of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Tomorrow, more on the damage done by breaking the promises we make before God. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Also ask about Pastor Lutzer's Reformation Tour to Germany. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next Running to Win.